T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning. First of all, thank you very much for being here today. We know what we've seen in Western New York, the issue of child sexual abuse. It's been dominating the news here the last several weeks, if not several months. And of course, statewide, we see various pieces of legislation that dealt with the issue of child sexual abuse, trying to put an end to it, and holding perpetrators of these terrible, terrible acts accountable. So today I'm announcing legislation that we have introduced. It's entitled the Child Victims Protection and Accountability Act. Its goals are to stop child sexual abuse and to hold perpetrators accountable. There's three parts. The first part deals with something that we're familiar with, the statute of limitations. Both the criminal statute of limitations and the civil statute of limitations, we completely eliminate the criminal statute of limitations in these cases and extend the civil statute of limitations up to age 50. The second part of this legislation, the proposed legislation, adds members of the clergy as mandatory reporters. Both cases involving families that are reported to the Child Protection Register, that is run by the Office of Children and Family Services, and in other cases that might be perpetrated by other reporters, the non-familial cases, where the requirement will be to report these cases if they have reasonable suspicion that they occurred to law enforcement. And, of course, there'll be penalties for failure to report. And the last area, the third area, provides whistleblower protection for employees at not-for-profits who believe these improper actions have taken place, or any violation of law for that matter, and encourages them to come forward to put an end to this type of activity. What this legislation does not do, and I think it is worth mentioning, is we've had discussion over the past several years about a 12-month open window, a look back, where anybody who might have been abused in the past at any point in time can bring a civil lawsuit forward. That's proposed legislation. I don't think that it's prudent or appropriate at this time, now that we've seen the Attorney General announce an investigation of all the dioceses across the state. We don't know exactly what the end result of that investigation will be, and I think that until we get a full handle on the results of that investigation, now is not the time to try to put forward legislation to deal with what took place in the past. So with that, I will be more than happy to answer questions. This includes some of the components of the Child Victims Act, but it's not exactly the same. So what this does is, the Child Victims Act has three different parts. It deals in two cases with the statute of limitations in criminal matters and civil matters, and it enhances, it extends the statute of limitations. Our proposal goes a little bit further than the Child Victims Act in regard to both those statute of limitations. The Child Victims Act also includes that 12-month open window. And for the reasons I articulated, the fact that we now have an investigation, we don't know what the results of this investigation is going to be, I don't think it's appropriate to include that portion of it at this time.
Senator, why introduce this now, 2 days after the Democrats take back control of the state?
Interesting question. Well, first of all, let me just say, I'm elected to serve my constituents, both my district and statewide, and our goal, we appropriate a budget and we put forward legislation that is good for our constituents, good for our communities. That never stops, no matter who is in charge. Standing up for what is right, never stops. There's times that we announce legislation or that we take legislative action in the days or weeks or months preceding an election, and are asked the question, by many or are accused by opponents of making it political by doing it before the election. I felt it appropriate to address this particular issue given what's going on, especially here in Western New York. Prior to the election, I just thought it would get lost in the election, and so I waited until afterwards so that now that we can get this election baloney behind us, we can now look forward to trying to right wrongs and doing better things for our community.
The Assembly for years has passed their own child benefits act. Republicans, no secret, have turned it down, especially with everything that happened starting in March here in Western New York with the Catholic Church and the sex abuse scandal that unfolded. Do you think it's too late, or do you think that Democrats are going to go with just their own route now?
Well, I don't know. There's several different things here. One of the things that's different, that Child Victims Act has been proposed, been around for I think at least 10 years and been discussed. What's different now is that there will be an investigation headed by the New York State Attorney General's office in all of the eight dioceses across the state. That never took place before, and we don't know what the outcome of that's going to be. So I think as far as the portion of the Child Victims Act that includes the 12-month window, that so-called look-back period, I think it's more appropriate that we wait to see what we have at the conclusion of this investigation. The other two things that are in there is we know now that members of the clergy are not mandatory reporters. Teachers are mandatory reporters of child sexual abuse, doctors, child psychologists. Many people in professions that come in contact with children are mandatory reporters. Members of the clergy are not, and I think it's important that this change be made. So that is something that's new in the way of a proposal. And then finally, we see the circumstances here in Western New York, again, where an employee came forward. Now, the circumstances, because that employee from the diocese left, would not apply. But we want to encourage employers of any not-for-profit, not just the church, but any not-for-profit where wrongful activities is going on, we want to encourage them to come forward. What we really want is we don't want illegal activity in any workplace. Not-for-profits, by their very design, are supposed to help people, certain groups of people, depending on what the particular not-for-profit is. They should not be hurting people. We want to discourage anybody who is employed by a not-for-profit from hurting people and violating the law and offering whistleblower protection for people that work in those various not-for-profits, I think, is one of the ways to do it.
What discussions, if any, have you had with Bishop Malone about the parts of this legislation?
I spoke with him about all of the parts of the legislation. He expressed support for it. And I might add, we also had some discussions late yesterday, early this morning, with representatives of the State Catholic Conference inquiring about the bill. While they did not come out and express support, they did not raise any objections to our reasons for putting it forward.
How has this struck you, this entire scandal, personally, that maybe you want to write legislation to this end?
I've been dealing with this particular area and this problematic area for several years now and talking with various advocates and talking about the Child Victims Act and talking about different pieces of legislation. There's a number of pieces of legislation that are around in Albany that deal with the issue of child sexual abuse. And a number of different legislators have put forward their idea on how to deal with this particular problem. So it's not something that's new. What is different at this particular time, though, is the Attorney General investigation has come forward in large part because of what we have seen in Buffalo and raise concerns what we saw in Pennsylvania. And that's something that's different now. And I think now it merits the respect, if that's the appropriate word, of the legislature when putting forward legislation to let that investigation take place. And then ultimately when the investigation is complete, we'll know what's there. We'll know what issues are created. We will know what took place in the past. And I think that's the time to figure out and to figure out how best to deal with it at the time.
To your knowledge, or how has this kind of affected your constituents, just seeing what's gone on in the church? I'm sure perhaps people that live in your district
Yeah, let me address that in two ways. First, and we'll come to the church second. This deals with the issue of child sexual abuse by anybody. We know, unfortunately, that a large percentage, some put it at 80%, some over 90% of child sexual abuse takes place at the hands of relatives or trusted individuals, trusted family, friends. It's difficult to get at that other than to continue to try to educate people about it, encourage people to come forward, people that are in positions of authority that come across children that might see some of the signs of it, encourage them to report, and it's hence the mandatory reporter laws. So this deals with the issue writ large, not just the church, and our legislation speaks to everything writ large. The Attorney General investigation, however, is limited to the Catholic Church, and of course, there's a lot of the focus in the news about that, and that's where I think we should be cautious, wait until the investigation is done. Secondly, how do I feel, my constituents feel about what we see in the news about the Diocese of Buffalo? Very troubled. I'm Catholic. I don't know that it shocks the conscience is the right way to say it. We know the allegations have been there. But now when you see the names that the diocese have released, many of my constituents, me personally, I know a number of these priests, and I'm very troubled that I'm troubled by their individual actions. And it's a rough time for anybody who was a victim, first of all. And it's good that we're talking about this, and it's good that we're trying to do something to prevent further victimization and to help victims. But I think by shining a light on it, the fact that the diocese has come up with names, the fact that we saw the Bishop of Albany reach out to the district attorney there and invite them in to look at the files, the fact that the Attorney General is doing an investigation statewide, all the information will be out there that isn't right now. I think it's important that we shine the light on it, that everything's out there, and we go forward from this point. It does not address, for the most part, it does not address anything going backwards. But in the event that people continue to be victimized from this day going forward, we're offering that those protections up there. We're trying to do something to prevent it by adding individuals, in this case members of the clergy, to the list of mandatory reporters, so they're obligated to report with penalty. And then, of course, we're encouraging people in the workplace of not-for-profits, if they know that violations of law are going on, to come forward. So to the extent that we can stop it effective immediately, this legislation speaks to that. As far as things that may have taken place in the past, the statute of limitations do apply. It would be up to the district attorney to determine in any individual case whether there were people that were engaged in illegal activity, whether as perpetrators or facilitating or soliciting a crime. There are current laws in place that deal with those particular things, but it would really depend on the circumstances of each individual case.
What would be the punishment for not
reporting? For mandatory reporters, for the current mandatory reporters not reporting to OCFS, it's a Class A misdemeanor. The same would now apply in all cases of non-reporting, whether it was to OCFS or to law enforcement. Dave. You will right now.
Yeah.
That's what we're proposing, among other things. That's one of the components. I have. I met with him a couple weeks ago as I was, I met with him about some of the things that we've seen in the local news in some specific cases, and then I talked about legislation in general. Mandatory reporting was one of those things.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple different things. Let me just speak to, I'll come to the Child Victims Act second. I think it was about a year or so ago, we saw reports in the news about teachers at Nichols School having inappropriate relationships with students. And many, myself included, were shocked to find out that the mandatory reporting laws that public school employees, teachers and others, were obligated to follow did not apply to any private schools. So we put forward legislation to deal with that. And it passed in the Senate and it passed in the Assembly. The Assembly controls the bill, meaning they're the ones who send it to the governor. They decide on the timing of it. It has not gone to the governor for signature. Now, in that particular case, whether it's Narden or a parochial school or a school of any denomination, anybody that works at the school would be obligated to report allegations of reasonable suspicion of sexual abuse. This goes a little further now as far as the mandatory reporting as far as our particular legislation. So the Child Victims Act that you're talking, that's the most common of the pieces of legislation that deal with child sexual abuse and how to deal with it. So the Child Victims Act deals with the civil statute of limitations, criminal statute of limitations, and then, going forward, third part is a look back, a 12-month open window where somebody could file a lawsuit against the individual or the institution that the individual was employed by for something that happened at any point in time. Our legislation deals with extending the statutes of limitation, criminal and civil matters. However, it does not include the look back. I don't think that it's appropriate at this time, given what's different now is the Attorney General's investigation that's going to take place of all eight dioceses across the state. And I think it's more prudent and it makes more sense to see the outcome of that investigation across the entire state to get a handle on exactly who has been aggrieved in the past and make a decision at that time how best to deal with making victims whole.
And without that look back, do you think that helps it change the process?
Some people feel very strongly about the look back. I think what's different, and they've expressed that over the last number of years, it has passed in the Assembly. A number of people in the Senate support it. What I think is different now, though, it makes it completely different in why we should be looking at legislation in a different matter, is the Attorney General investigation that had never taken place before. And now we are going to have that across the state. And I think until we get a handle on the outcome of that investigation, we're better off leaving that to the future to deal with. That will do exactly that. This will make members of the clergy mandatory reporters of child sexual abuse. Child abuse, if any individual that's a member of a clergy, like other mandatory reporters, has reasonable suspicion that some type of child abuse has taken place, sexual or otherwise, they have a statutory obligation to report it under penalty. So we have the legislation. We can get you if you don't have it. We can email it. It was filed yesterday, so it is actually numbered. I will be circulating it to all the legislators in Western New York and all my colleagues in Albany as well for support. I haven't done that yet.
Do you expect anything to blow back in the church?
I spoke with Bishop Malone yesterday. I spoke with the bishop yesterday to make him aware of what was being presented today. He expressed support for every piece of this, and we did speak with my office in Albany, spoke with representatives of the State Catholic Conference who expressed no objection to this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.